Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host, Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
It is. We're knocking them out. We're going through Amazing Colossal Obsessions episodes to cover the summer, to cover August. Raybone is here.
Hello.
Always
That's all I got.
Always charismatic.
That's all I got.
We have two special guests sitting, two Daves. Dave Seidel.
Hello.
Hello, Dave. Dave is the lead systems engineer right here at Earwolf. He's a big fan of the show. He's a big friend of the show. If you love the Charles Fox episode, thank him because he's the guy that got that wonderful keyboard in here. He's still waiting for a thank you from Gilbert.
Yes, that was great.
And the Neil Sedaka episode to come. Dave and Jared O'Connell were kind enough to
another great episode.
Yes, to provide us with needed music and tech. They're invaluable. They're big helps to the show. Also, Dave number two, Dave Milstein.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Dave. Dave, how did you describe yourself when I asked you how you wanted to be introduced?
I said I was a lawyer and a Jew.
There you go.
Which you don't find a lot of. That's a rarity. It's just like Jew comedy writers. I don't know where.
That makes me the rare Gentile comedy writer.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the people that write all those Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm. So we've been doing these record collection episodes. We started with my record collection.
Yeah.
Weeks ago, we did Dara's record collection. Yes. We even did Dara's mom's record collection when we started to get real obscure. Raybone, we did one with Raybone. The less said about that one, the better.
Oh, my God.
Paul brought in Lithuanian...
I can't believe you couldn't get that.
Yeah, dialect records from the 20s. So Dave have been observing. They've been in the next room in the booth with Frank.
See, so they're observing Jews.
They're observing. Very quick. And somebody among the three of us got the idea. Why don't you guys bring in your record collection and try to stump us? So they happen to be on the premises. Dave Milstein is a super fan. They're both fans, and they've brought us their record collection. So this one's going to be called Dave and Dave's Record Collection.
All right.
And we have not seen them.
Correct.
We do not know what the choices are. We've never met, as Kreskin says. Frank, they've been in touch with Frankie V. He's queued them up. You guys can figure out the rest. So
actually,
they're going to try
Dave
to stump
us. Dave is so talented, he's queued them up on his own computer.
How about
there.
That?
Yeah.
Dave, Butcher, love that kind of guest that does that kind of preparation.
All right, so...
We'll start with Dave Seidel.
All right, so...
So how do you want to work it? You guys going to alternate, or are we going to do yours and then his?
Kind of a it's a mishmash.
Yeah, it's a mishmash.
Yeah, we got a lot of the same
records. Jump in anywhere.
All right, so Frank, you might know this one.
Which
so
Frank?
Both Franks.
Okay, this is Seidel number one.
We'll see if Gilbert knows this one first.
Okay.
That's an obscure one.
All right.
Don't assume anything.
But do you know the name of your theme song?
I do because I chose it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to disqualify myself.
I do not know the name.
Okay. Yeah. So you want to tell us?
Well, when we named the show... The Amazing Colossal Podcast, which was obviously named after a movie.
Yes.
The Amazing Colossal Man, because we wanted to give the theme and the feel of what this show was going to be about. And we went searching for a piece of library music, and we wanted something a little eerie, a little creepy, but a little retro 60s, a little Dick Dale. And then Gilbert's phone is going off.
That was our alternative theme.
Yeah.
We could have used Gilbert's phone.
It's called Vampire Strut.
Correct.
By a guy named Bob Bradley. Right.
Very good.
You know, it's very much in the league with Telstar and...
That's what I was trying to find.
Yeah, yeah. The Ventures. Right? Yeah.
Tolstoy.
Yeah, not Tolstoy.
Like
that's what we're going for.
Yes.
We're going for sort of that hip space age New York kind of surf.
Yes.
That's another one.
Yes.
You know what's funny about music?
I got to take voice lessons from Gilbert.
We first put it on the show. It sounded strange. But with repetition, over time...
It's the signature song.
It's the signature. Yeah. It's inseparable from the show.
I know how to play it on guitar. Even.
You do?
Yeah.
in a future episode, will you do a live theme song for us?
Sure.
That's great. So you started with the hard one.
All right.
By the way, I'd like to remind people that Gilbert had no idea what the name of it was.
Yes.
Or the artist.
Or had he ever heard it before?
No. What was the name of it again?
Vampire Strut.
Ah, I like that.
There you go.
Yeah.
It seemed right.
All right, next up.
Oh.
Streaks on the china, never matter before.
I know what that is.
When you drop kicked your jacket,
this guy really does listen to the show.
Came through the door, no one glared. But sometimes things get turned around and no one spared.
We just lost this artist.
All hands look out below. There's a change in the status quo. Gonna need all the help that we can get. According to our new arrival, life is more than mere survival. We just might live the good.
He's not gonna get it.
No.
Now, why would you have picked that, I wonder?
Because it's the theme to Mr. Belvedere.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
If he was sitting on his balls at the time, he would have guessed it.
And I feel so proud because I was on the studio lot doing another show, and when the news broke that Mr. Belvedere was rushed to the hospital because he just sat on his own balls.
So
the great Leon Redbone.
But it wasn't written by Leon Redbone.
Ooh.
It was written by Judy Hart Angelo and Gary Portnoy, who also wrote the theme to Cheers, and Punky Brewster.
Yes, yes.
And now...
very good.
Now...
Very good.
Christopher Hewitt wasn't the first person to play Mr. Belvedere.
Clifton Webb.
And what movie?
Also sat on his balls.
But see, him, it wasn't as much weight.
What was the title? Paging Mr. Belvedere or We Love Mr. Belvedere or Mr. Belvedere Strikes Again or something?
It was the 1948 film Sitting Pretty.
Oh, okay. I'm way off.
That's a great title. Sitting Pretty.
But it was followed by two sequels, Mr. Belvedere Goes to College and Mr. Belvedere Rings the Bell.
There you go. Mr. Belvedere.
He rings the bell.
Clifton Webb from Titanic.
Yes,
the original Titanic.
Yes, I remember.
Yes, and Laura, of course.
And he's got that one line where his grandson decides not to leave the Titanic. And he says, I want to stay with you, Grandpa. And Clifton Webb says, I've never been as proud of you as I am this moment.
Beautiful. Never sat on his balls once, Clifton.
Yeah, and if he did, he'd hardly feel it. He was a little man. With surprisingly large testicles.
Seidel has put some thought into these selections.
Yeah.
These are
specific. Yeah. These are
He's
thoughts.
A clever fellow.
All right.
All right.
Here we go.
Number three.
Ah, Zap! Something's happening to me. That's happening to me. It's a quiet kid I used to be. Not long ago. One I used to know. Someone's so strange. Suddenly my whole life has been changed. Turn inside out. Makes me wanna shout. Here I am. Take a look at me. I'm high as a kite and I'm twice as free like a dream that was meant to be. This time it's fun. I'm ready to go away like I did before. I'm gonna hide from it anymore. I'm gonna fly like a fall. This time it's mine. Oh, it's my golden shot. And I'm ready to get what you got if you're ready or not. I was always playing hide and seek, hiding from the light. And by the light, I can see the light. Here I am, take a look at me. I'm high as a kite and I'm twice as free like a dream. Desmond to be. This time, it's mine. I'm not running away like I did before.
How do we stop
not
him?
Gonna highlight what you want. Gonna find what I'm looking for.
You put this the diamond time, and you get the whole song.
It's fine. Sunshine, and I'm ready to get what you got. If you're ready or not. Ready or not. Oh, this is that horn.
Thank you, Corky.
Solo.
That was beautiful.
This 5 minutes of our lives we'll never get back.
Did you ever hear anyone be ahead and behind in the same song?
Now, okay. Now, Charlie Fox. If you're out there, memorize that.
and then you let him come back.
Yes, and then come back just to do that. You can come in, play that, and then leave.
He's going to fly in.
Wow.
Just do that one.
I like the Zap thing.
Maybe David Pomerantz lives in New York.
Yes, yes.
Seidel, you're just pandering.
All right, now we're going to switch it up a
that
little bit.
That was fun.
This next one is a Dave Milstein pick.
Ooh, moving on to the other Dave.
Yes, yeah. Here we go.
Much has been said of the strumpets of yore, of wenches and baldy house queens by the score. But I sing of the baggage that we all adore. The landlord's daughter, you'll never love another. Although she's not the kind of girl to take home.
Raybone, any guesses?
Is lively and strong to the taste.
It is brewed with discretion. Never.
It's deep in thought.
Have all you like it.
You might get it.
Swear not to waste.
Wow.
The landlord's daughter. And when her name.
We can assume it's called the landlord's daughter.
Yeah.
Well, you consider yourself stumped yet?
Yes, yes.
I consider us very stumped.
All right,
extremely stumped.
That's from one of the greatest horror movies of all time, The Wicker Man.
Oh, okay.
Christopher Lee. And
yes.
I even know the scene.
Yeah. So, yeah, not to give away anything too much about the movie to the listeners, but that's when Edward Woodward is starting to pick up on there being something very wrong with the people in that town. And they're singing about Britt Eklund there.
Also a podcast-specific song you chose.
That's right.
So you've been listening even to the mini-episodes.
That's correct.
Yes, we picked The Wicker Man as a movie
recommendation
Number many 16. Moons ago. Wow. That was very impressive. Is that the scene where Britt Eklund is?
That's not the one where she's dancing. So that's there's two really great songs in that movie. There's that one, and then there's a song called Gently Johnny.
Right.
And that's the seduction one is Gently Johnny.
A wonderfully disturbing film.
Yes.
It's a well-made film.
It's one of my top five horror films.
Terrific job.
And so a little trivia about that one. That was written by Paul Giovanni and performed by a group called Magnet, who appear in that scene as the musicians.
Wow.
And so there's actually a spiritual sequel. Robin Hardy made a sequel called The Wicker Tree.
Yes, Robin Hardy, the director.
Right.
Yes.
And now this one I know, getting back to Zapped. I know who sang it. Do you know the group that sang Ready or Not?
Was it Magnet?
Nope.
J. Fred Poots?
No, it was Plain Jane.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
Nice choice, Milstein.
Thank you. And another side note, the author of The Wicker Man, the screenwriter, Anthony Schaefer, who is Jewish, he wrote a treatment for a sequel called The Loathsome Lambton Worm that, again, without spoiling anything, it takes place immediately after The Wicker Man ends, and it takes off from there, but it never got produced.
Very impressive. I'm as stumped as Toadie Fields. How about you?
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
All right, you ready?
Here
we go.
Next?
Next ready. One. This is another Dave pick, Dave Milstein pick.
Boy, we've been embarrassing ourselves here
so far.
Her
head is growing bald. Her feet are twice her size. She says it's not her fault. She's got Marty Feldman eyes. She'll tell us how to do. And tell you all her goodbyes. She'll confuse the hell out of you. She's got Marty Feldman
I think you can fade it.
It's obviously a parody of Kim Carnes' Betty Davis Eyes.
Now, I could give a hint if it would help.
Give a hint.
Think David Crosby.
Is it David Crosby?
It's not David Crosby. Well, it's Bruce Baum, the 80s
Bruce Baum.
Jeez.
Speaking of funny comics. Wow. Right. But yeah, an answer to a question
so
from a previous show.
So in 1981, he put out a single covering Kim Carnes' Betty Davis Eyes, as Marty Feldman's Eyes. But now what I really wanted to ask both of you, and this is good, do you guys know the connection between Marty Feldman and Mad Magazine? Beyond him just appearing in it.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. I know the connection between John Cleese and Mad Magazine.
That's not what I was thinking of.
Right.
Why don't you say who the author is?
Specifically, Sergio Aragonés
and
Marty Feldman.
I don't know. Was there a Gru the Wanderer movie developed with Marty? With Marty in the lead? Shout out to Mark Evanier, our pal.
In the early 2000s, DC Comics had an anthology comic series called Solo, where each issue was devoted to one particular artist, and they could do whatever they want with it. In Sergio Aragonés' issue of Solo, he tells about the time he possibly killed Marty Feldman.
Great trivia.
So he was a school friend of a director named Juan Lopez Moctezuma.
Love his work.
Yep, Alucarda.
No, I'd never heard of him.
Oh, okay. So they were childhood friends. Then in 1981, he gets a phone call from Moctezuma asking, would you want to fly down to Mexico City, appear in a movie I'm making called To Kill a Stranger, which had Dean Stockwell in it.
Okay.
Which I've never seen.
Or, you know.
So he goes down there. He's playing a federale as an armed cop. Sergio Aragonés is dressed up as a Mexican police officer with a gun. He's taking a stroll around the set. He wanders into another movie set that it turns out is the set of Treebeard, which is a movie with Peter Boyle and James Mason and Cheech and Chong. And most importantly,
they changed the title to Yellowbeard.
I'm sorry, Yellowbeard.
Yeah.
Treebeard is Lord of the Rings.
That's okay.
And Marty Feldman's in it. So he finds out Marty Feldman is in this movie. He goes crazy. I need to meet Marty Feldman. He's my hero. He spies him on set, and he runs up to him. Marty Feldman! Marty Feldman! Except forgetting he's dressed as a Mexican police officer with a fake gun. So he said Marty Feldman turned around and was, ah! And he's basically screaming at Marty Feldman that, like, I'm a cartoonist, but I love you, and I'm an actor. And Marty Feldman doesn't know what's going on. And so he leaves dejected. Marty Feldman just staring at him. He spends the whole night torturing himself that he blew this opportunity. So he says, the next day I'm going to make it right. He goes back to the set. He asks some actors, like, hey, where's Marty Feldman? I need to apologize to him and to speak to him. They said, you didn't hear the news? He died last night.
Wow.
And so he's always wondered if he possibly played a role in that.
How spooky.
Ooh.
In his heart attack.
Yeah.
Wow. Now I'm just sad.
A bit of a downer.
Dave Milstein playing the role of Paul Raybone, bringing the room down.
Say, that's my job.
But that's what Gina always says about me. Like, in the middle of an interview, I'll have a funny story, everyone's laughing, and I'll go, your wife died in childbirth.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. You've been guilty of that a few times. We won't mention specifics. Good stuff. Good trivia.
Yep.
Bruce Baum.
That's a chilly.
What a mention. Okay, back to Dave Seidel.
Next up. Here
is this
we go.
You again?
Now, I heard a story with Bruce Baum that one time he was at an airport and another comic spotted him, and the other comic was Arabic, and I forget the comic's name, and he saw Bruce Baum, and starts yelling, bomb, bomb. and they arrested him.
Gino's on the phone right now. There you go. You mentioned him, and there he is.
Hold him up to the mic.
All right, Gino, when you hear this episode. What's that?
Hold him up to the mic.
Put him up to the mic. Here. Gino, you there?
I'm here.
You're on the air. We're recording.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Gilbert was just saying how you tell him how he can ruin any interview by taking it into a dark direction.
What tragedy is he brought up now?
We're going to call you back right after this episode. We got two guys doing music.
Take your time.
We love you, buddy. Okay, Seidel, back to you.
All right, here we go.
She got a nose job. She got a nose job. It's now turned up instead of hanging. She got a nose job, she got a nose job, and now she's the prettiest gal in town.
Gil? Any takers?
She never
had
a boy to walk her home. She never had a boy who cared.
You both may have had this but at some point.
Was it a guy who made comedy novelty records or a legit singer?
This is a comedy record.
Raybone, anything? Sorry to wake you, Paul. No guesses.
Okay, so there was two issues of Mad Magazine in 1962 that came with Flexi Records.
Oh!
And this is from Mad Twists Rock and Roll.
Wow.
And that's actually a doo-wop group called the Delwoods that I think never did much else.
I'm so ashamed of myself for not knowing this great stuff. Impressive, impressive.
All right, next up.
This sounds so familiar.
The night before Christmas and all through the castle, my monsters were having...
Oh, Lon Chaney Jr.
Oh, it's a Monsters Holiday.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. We played this on an episode one Christmas.
All right. So, let me hear it.
Nice work. Was that a Seidel or a Milstein selection?
That was a Milstein.
Nice work, Dave.
Was this before or after Monster Mash?
It was after.
After.
It's a cover.
It's such a ripple.
Yeah. It actually has the same backup singers from Monster Mash. And he recorded it in between filming Spider Baby.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
So that's one of the two songs. Because Lon Chaney also sang the theme song to Spider Baby,
Yeah, which is great. That song is amazing.
Yes.
Well, I can't remember how it goes.
Isn't Sid Haig in Spider Baby?
Yep.
Yeah. How about that?
All
right. Good calls, man. Good stuff.
Next up.
Are you entertained, Gilbert?
Oh,
yes. These guys have worked.
This is yes.
This next one is my favorite song.
But I never got a T-shirt.
Go ahead.
I've been listening to the song over and over.
Okay.
All week. This is
I don't think we've guessed one yet except for our own theme.
When the night is dark.
That's Burgess
and
Meredith.
You're fast asleep.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
Somewhere in Gotham.
Well, it's some Batman thing, but...
I am the master of evil and dastardly deeds.
Is this from that Batman
on
LP from the 60s?
Yep.
I feed
Batmania.
Feed.
But it was first released on a 45.
That's me.
This is great. Oh, this is gold.
Alright, so you want to explain that this one's called The Capture. The A side is The Capture, so he gets
great.
Captured by Batman.
This is great.
And the B side is The Escape. So it ends with the Penguin getting away and, you know, really giving it to Burt Ward.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, boy!
Have you seen the Gorshin? The live version, it's on YouTube, where he does the Riddler.
Wow, no.
I've
heard that song.
On a variety show.
No.
It's great. I'll send it to you.
Yeah,
people have put it on the Listener Society.
Now,
great find.
I saw a trailer for a movie that looks scary as hell. And the funny, it starts Frank Gorshin as George Burns.
Mr. Frank Gorshin.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, he did a one-man show.
No,
George
this
Burns.
This wasn't a one-man show. It's an actual movie.
I gotta find this.
Where and it's like, I think they have other people. Maybe Rodney Dangerfield pops up in it, but he looks and sounds exactly like George Burns. But the movie looks beyond horrible.
Fascinating. Okay, we'll have to find out what that is. Yeah, right. But that Riddler. Yeah,
I heard the recording of it, but I never saw that
he
live
He does jokes and he dances, and he's actually, he moves quite well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, this next one's me.
Okay.
Even though we're
on Frank Gorshin died of cancer from all the smoking.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So I just...
Yeah, I believe emphysema.
Yeah, yes.
And then, yeah, he's a two-pack-a-day smoker.
And then I think his daughter commits suicide when she found out that he...
I don't think that.
All right, so
okay, Seidel, hit us.
Even though we're on Stitcher Premium, it's time for a commercial break.
Yeah.
Mount Airy Lodge.
For a
Reservations form 1-800-441-4410.
You own this as a record, huh?
Yep.
This was in your record collection.
You had to go to the WFMU record fair back in the day.
Wow.
The real deep cuts.
Wow.
Boy. How many times have I heard that one?
Beautiful Mount Airy Lodge. I like it.
I've been there. You got some facts.
What was the other one? The Milford Plaza jingle.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we had that one cute.
That was actually cute.
I always enjoyed that one.
And, you know, for listeners that don't know, Mount Airy Lodge was a Poconos resort. It was kind of the Catskills of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Podcast favorites like Milton Berle, Nipsey Russell, and Connie Francis played there. And the commercial was kind of famous for that champagne glass jacuzzi. You know, as kids, we would watch that commercial and want to go up there and beg our parents to go swim in that jacuzzi that was probably covered in layers of DNA. And,
I don't want to get in a jacuzzi Nipsey Russell had been in.
Pocono Jazz.
All right.
Okay. That was a Milstein or a Seidel?
That was me.
That was a Seidel.
You know, it's both.
Yeah. That wasn't really a 45, but. I'll let you stretch the premise.
I also remember all those years when I was a kid of those billboards that would have a picture of Jerry Lewis saying Browns is my favorite resort.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, who's next?
All right.
This is fun.
This is me.
I haven't guessed one of these fuckers yet. Paul?
Jesus, I don't know.
Gilly?
It sounds so familiar. But...
Ramones-esque.
Yeah.
That's because it is the Ramones.
Okay.
Well, that's one reason.
All right. So far, I've guessed Ramones and Burgess Meredith.
Which two that always go together.
They do. They were great together.
All right. So, Gilbert, you know you're one of the surviving Ramones?
Yes.
Gilbert Ramone?
Yeah.
So who else is still alive?
That's someone I was talking to someone recently trying to figure out.
Timmy Ramone?
Timmy? What?
There was no Timmy.
Timmy?
Freddie Ramone? He's still there.
Freddie Ramone.
All right. So CJ is still alive, the bass player, second bass player.
Okay.
Elvis Ramone, who is Clem Burke from Blondie.
Very good.
And then Richie Ramone, who was also one of the drummers.
Excellent.
And then there's Zeppo Ramone.
Yeah, there was Zeppo. Yep.
That was actually a question I was going to ask.
And Tito.
From your time in the Ramones, who, if they were the Marx Brothers, who would be Chico?
You know, aren't you flattered that they've done so much research, not into the show, but into your career?
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes.
Now, from that, what was that, from Up All Night? Or
Yes, Up All Night.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So in the beginning of that, you're on Avenue B and 2nd Street.
Yeah.
Outside of what used to be called the gas station, which was like a club that was kind of made out of garbage.
Yeah.
And my brother actually lived diagonally across the street. That was a colorful area.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember
anything?
Back in those days.
I can't imagine being there with a video crew.
Yes. I don't think we left with all of our cameras.
That was an interesting hood. Okay. Is Milstein next?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is the
penultimate.
Because I used to live on Avenue A.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another funny thing about that song, actually, the lyrics were originally, I'm a Nazi baby, I'm a Nazi baby. And I think Seymour Stein was like, we're not having you sing, I'm a Nazi baby. So if you listen to it, he says, I'm a Nazi shotzi, which is Yiddish for like a little cutie, like a little baby.
Oh,
so he's basically saying it anyway.
And speaking of all that, I brought you a little plastic swastika for your 45.
Oh, wow! Brought you a 45 adapter.
Wow.
Oh, Gil, you made out tonight. So nice. They did all this prep and they brought swag. They brought gifts. Thank you for using the word penultimate correctly.
Right, here's the penultimate number.
Two live crew?
Yes, correct. And who is that guest vocalist?
Gilbert knows.
I'm going to play the beginning again so he can listen closely.
Gil,
here we go.
Who is being sampled in this record?
Oh.
if you were DJ Gilbert, what would you have sampled?
Yeah, what would you have sampled to get the top? To get the
queuing it back up. Here we go.
Who is it?
Oh, love you long time. Oh, fuck. Fuck. Oh, fuck. Yes. Happy Unchusu. Yes.
If only she knew.
Oh.
She was also a hip-hop star in addition to an actress and a prostitute.
Yeah. So does our
lawyer?
That
was a hit.
Yeah. Does our lawyer want to say a little something about that song?
Oh, that's right. So on that, so that album is called As Nasty As They Wanna Be. It was the first, and I think to date, only album ever declared legally obscene.
Interesting. In America, yeah. When Tipper Gore was out hunting, headhunting. Nice choice. We were just talking about Papillon Susu about 35 minutes ago before you guys
see,
walked in the room.
See, because the problem, I've wanted her on the show since we started, and Frank keeps saying to me, he goes, well, what are you going to say? You know, get her to say me so horny and that's it? And I said, well, yeah. Yeah.
You can ask her what could you get
sure
for $10.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'll be so flattered. She'll tell all her friends.
And I'm sure no one else has ever asked her to say that before.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
It's probably, I think it would probably be like getting in Jimmy Walker and say, come on, scream. Dynamite! Yeah.
I said you could do your Bill Dana Sue, see?
Yeah,
you do
yes.
your bit with her.
It was a woman on Sopranos. Christopher, that was another one. What was her name?
Well, that wasn't Bill Dana's bit. It was Mel Blanc's bit.
Mel Blanc,
yeah. Right,
yeah.
Right.
Who died 30 years ago yesterday.
Very good.
At the day of this taping.
Wow.
Least.
See, now you're taking over the Gilbert part of bringing the room.
Is there one left?
Yes. Oh. The final one. It's a short one.
Oh, boy. You're going to have time, hard time topping that one. It's Tara's theme from the
Gone with the Wind.
Million but Dollar
what,
Movie.
What else might it be?
Million
known?
Dollar Movie.
Million Dollar Movie. Yes. Yes.
Million Dollar Movie.
Great piece there of music.
We picked this one because this is sort of the going to bed hour at one point in New York City.
Oh, boy, you guys are taking me back.
Who wrote it?
Max Steiner, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Max Steiner.
From King Kong. And
check me out on that, Paul. Make sure I'm right.
Wasn't he also oh God. The Humphrey Bogart and
Casablanca.
No, with the gold.
Treasure of Sierra Madre.
He did the music for that too, didn't he? Dun 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 dun.
You show me one other podcast that's going to get Mount Airy Lodge, Treasure of the Sierra Madre, and Live Cruise, two Live Cruise, Be So Horny, in the same episode. It doesn't exist. Paul, how are we doing on that? Was it Max Steiner, in fact?
I haven't got it yet.
But we're gonna do another episode while waiting for Paul. Guys, this was terrific.
This was great.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Great fun.
What wonderful prep. How many of those were actual records?
Oh, I think most of them, these, yeah. Most of them.
I actually have the Mr. Belvedere on vinyl. that's
it sounds way better on vinyl.
Television's Greatest Hits, Volume 6, Remote Control.
Yep.
TVT Records, 1996.
All right, let me see how fast. Let me show Paul how it's done. I just started
looking
at it.
And the other thing that,
the Searchers,
the other music.
A Summer Place.
Yeah, but was it Tara's theme? Who composed it? While we're waiting for Paul,
if you'd like to go out and jog or learn, if you'd like to learn.
Max Steiner, how long did that take me?
Yeah.
22
if
seconds.
If you'd like to master the cello.
I almost got it. don't sign off yet. I think I've got it.
This was very entertaining.
There was also that other one that depressed me because it meant it was late, and that was. And I forget the name. Da 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 da
syncopated clock.
Yes. That was another depressing.
Yeah. Well, that we all lived through the days when television went off the air.
Yes, that was suicidal.
The Pledge of Allegiance and then static.
Yeah, there's a Billy Joel song called "Sleeping with the Television On" that ends with the Star Spangled Banner, and then you hear the boo white noise, and it's just so dated.
And then go.
Yeah. Yeah, those were sad days for when you were an insomniac.
Oh, and
no VCRs in those days. Not like you could fire up a movie.
Those were like suicide. I think people would probably commit suicide at that point.
Between 12 and 4 a.m.
Yes.
What's another pop song that references television going off the air at in the middle of the night?
Is that a
Zap
100 channels and there's nothing on?
No, Dean Friedman's Ariel. Do you know that song?
No.
Okay. Well, that's one for the listeners. Two guys like you would know it.
I had one quick question for you guys. When we talked about when I did the my obscure record collection, we talked about the Please Please Me and Love Me Do that are credited as McCartney and Lennon.
Yeah, I knew
and
that
you
one.
You mentioned one other example.
Yeah, in the mid to late 90s, McCartney did a record called Paul Is Live, I believe. And that one, he switched them around to piss off Yoko.
Yeah.
Oh, I just fantastic. that reminds me of something else. We did a whole show about story records.
We
left out Rocky Raccoon.
Rocky Raccoon fell back in his room only to find Gideon.
Well, there are a million Beatle ones we could have done. There's so many. Obladi Oblada is a story song.
Yeah,
you really want to get technical. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
This was an absolute treat.
Great episode.
Yeah, really. For a Jew and a Gentile, Gilbert.
Yeah. Okay, just give credit to the Jew.
I do want to thank you, Gilbert, because if it wasn't for you, I mean, I probably was the only 10-year-old in Brooklyn that knew who Kurt Waldheim was. So I appreciate that.
Kurt Waldheim and Joyce DeWitt in the same bit,
as
I recall. Dave Milstein, super fan. Dave Seidel, engineer extraordinaire, big helper to us. Thank you guys for this. This was an absolute treat. Sorry we only guessed one out of 60. Gil?
Oh. Well, you'll say their names. Yes, okay. I don't fucking pay attention. This has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsession.
Thanks, guys. Sessions.